We've got Shuley Agar on the phone. Shuley, how's it going?
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing excellent. Thank you so much for calling in tonight.
Oh, it's my pleasure. My pleasure. I've been waiting all night to do it.
And last time we talked, you interviewed me for the Stern Show.
That's right, for the Howard 100 News.
That was a lot of fun.
For you, not for me. I had to edit that boring interview. No, I'm kidding. It was fantastic. You were a great help in dealing with Jeff the Drunk and all of his many issues. And I'm glad he's got your number to add to his Rolodex of people he can annoy for the rest of his life.
You know, he does call me a lot, but...
Really? You don't say? That doesn't sound like Jeff.
No, but...
Hey, Ethan, think you can pick me up a pack of Marlboro Reds, dude? Thanks.
No, you know, he's usually when he calls, he
asks
for...
Hey, Ethan, I was in the shower, and I thought I heard the phone ring. Has that ever happened to you? Give me a call. We'll talk about it.
He usually calls and asks for help on Twitter and stuff.
Well, I need help on Twitter. Hey, Ethan, it's Jeff. I saw a cloud today, and it looked like you. I was thinking of you. Call me. I miss you.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he's quite the character. Jeff a lot.
When did your relationship with Jeff start?
It started actually before I worked for the Stern Show, when they would come
out
to Vegas to do. They did like two or three shows, I think, out of Vegas, out of the Hard Rock Hotel. And I met Jeff down there at the Circle Bar the first time they came out. That was my first experience with Jeff. And then once I started working there, I mean, I dealt with him a lot more, you know?
Right.
But I was definitely a fan before I was a colleague, if you will.
Right. So, now, how did you start working for the Stern Show? Was it something you had to apply for?
Sexual favors, to be honest with you. No, actually, I've been listening to Howard for many years as a super fan.
Mm-hmm.
And after about 8 or 9 years of listening, I started calling in, and I would call in with like games and questions. And I was just looking. I always loved the office stuff that they used to get into, the behind the scenes stuff, the
right.
personnel stuff, you know, the arguments, the fights. And I would just try and kind of, I don't know, I guess contribute something that may lead to something like that, or just something that they didn't have planned, you know,
mm-hmm.
for the day. And give a little back to a show that's gotten me through so many awful, awful jobs in my life. And it was cool. Once I started calling in, it was like crack. I was addicted. I would call in every day with stuff. You know, Stuttering John worked there at the time, and I would call in with like a list of things, and he'd be like, "Oh, do that one. Don't do that one." You know, and he would like, help coach me through the calls and stuff. And,
right.
and it was great. I love doing it, man. And so when I heard Howard was leaving to go to satellite radio, I said to a couple buddies of mine, you know, why don't we do some internet radio? And I want to get some practice in case I get an opportunity to do, you know, one of those one-hour shows that he was talking about giving people, you know.
Right.
And I had no radio experience. I didn't want to have, you know, 30 seconds of material and then that's it, you know, because doing stand-up and doing radio is two completely different things.
Yeah.
When you're doing stand-up, you got the reaction after a joke. It's instant, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they laugh or don't laugh, you know right after you hit that punchline. With radio, there's no feedback, you know. You're just assuming there's somebody sitting there laughing or there's somebody sitting there going, this guy sucks. More times you think that people are going, this guy sucks. So, you know, I started doing this internet radio show with my buddies in Vegas, the guys who I did stand-up with.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day I got a call from this guy, Tim Sabian, who was the program director of Howard's Channels, and he says, I got something. I can't talk about it over the phone with you. Can you be in New York by tomorrow evening? And being a huge fan of the Stern Show, the first thing I thought of is, this is a prank. Somebody's pranking me, and I'm gonna beat somebody's ass when I see him. and so I said, yeah, and I got a plane ticket. I went out there for a 1 week audition, and 1 week turned into 2 weeks, turned into 3 weeks, and a month and a half, maybe 2 months later, I finally got to go back home, grab the rest of my clothes, and come back out, and I've been here ever since, you know, just learning everything as I go along, radio, doing, you know, how to be a reporter and still being a comic through all that, you know, and still being true to my style, I guess, of what I knew when I got out here, which was pretty much just stand-up. And everything else I've learned from the people that I've worked with up there, which have all been awesome, you know, and it's been an amazing, amazing experience to go from sitting there with a headset on calling into the show to, you know, having Jackie texting me the other night to call him the next day. It's like, it's very surreal, man, very surreal. I appreciate every minute of it and really just get a big kick out of being there every day still.
So there's still a coolness factor of working for Stern even today?
Absolutely, man, absolutely, because, you know, for me anyways, these are all people that I listened to on the radio for so long that you feel like you're a family, you know, and when I got there, they welcomed me with open arms as if I had been there working with them for years. You know, a lot of them knew my calls, but, you know, we didn't know each other, and everybody was very, very friendly and very nice, and it's a great team. I mean, it's really just so many talented people.
Now, were you surprised by anyone when you actually started working there that was just really different than what you thought from the radio?
You know what? Not really, because that's the beauty thing about the Stern Show is it's, you think about it, it's like the first ever reality show.
Right.
You know, it took guys like, you know, Baba Booey and Ronnie the Limo Driver and Jackie, and it painted a picture that when you met these people, you're like, oh my God, this person's really like that.
Right.
You know, Ronnie gets drunk and starts screaming about strippers. You're like, wow, that's really the same Ronnie that's on the air. And they're all pretty much who they say they are, you know, which was, it really wasn't surprising. I mean, you know, Howard's a quiet guy. Robin's very friendly. You know, Fred's awesome to talk to off the air, on the air. He doesn't say a word.
Mm-hmm.
Gary loves telling stories. Ralph is gay. I mean, everything is pretty much the way you hear it.
Now, when you first started, were you signed on to do all these extra shows that you do, like Miserable Men and Jay Thomas and stuff?
No, not at all. In fact, when I came out here to work, I was brought out as a consultant. I wasn't brought to be any on-air personality at all. I was just brought in to help explain to the news team that was formed at the time. There was like 16 reporters at the time when I first started.
Oh, wow.
You know, what the Stern Show is, who the players on the Stern Show are, who the Whack Pack is, who's in the Whack Pack, who's not, you know, all this stuff that a super fan knows that people who work a normal 9-to-5 living every day probably don't know.
Right.
And, you know, so by the second day of my consultant stint, I was pretty much out of stuff to explain. And I grabbed a recorder and I went down on the street in Times Square and I started interviewing people about Howard and kind of goofing on him a little bit in like a comic heckler kind of way.
Right.
And I played it for the news director at the time and she loved it. She's like, we're putting this on the air. This is great. And that was just like a little crack in the door, you know. And
Right. Once
I saw that crack in the door, I'm like, all right, I'm going to learn how to record. I'm going to learn how to interview. I'm going to learn how to edit, you know, audio on the computer. I'm going to learn all this stuff so that way if I suck at this, maybe I can stay here and work doing that, you know?
And
that's pretty much what I did was I just became a sponge and tried to absorb as much as I could being out here and doing all this stuff.
That's really a great idea. I'm trying to do something like that, trying to do an internship on the show.
Yeah, it's not going to work. Move on. All right, let's go. What else you got? No, I'm kidding. I'll do my best to get you in there, but, you know, right. I'm very low on the totem pole.
Well, you're pretty high up, I'd say.
Well, I mean, if the totem pole is working for free, yeah, right. I'm at the top of it.
So, now, you said you're a super fan. How would you compete? How do you think you'd compete during, like, the super fan competitions that they do?
Well, here's the only setback for me is that I grew up, I was born in Israel, but I grew up on the West Coast.
Okay.
And, you know, I didn't get Howard till 91 out there. I think the Channel 9 show was the first thing I saw as far as Howard goes. And then after that, He was in, you know, a short time after that, they brought him to L.A. radio. So I don't have the D.C. years, the NBC years. I had never listened to a lot of those stuff except, you know, when they've been airing the history of Howard's on Sirius. It's been phenomenal stuff for me.
Yeah.
To hear, you know, chunks of the show that I didn't even know, you know, existed. I mean, if it was from 91 up, I think I could do pretty good if, you know, whatever's not fried in my brain from years of weed.
Now, when you're there actually working, do you get to listen to the show, or is it something where after you're done, after you get out of work, then you listen to it?
Well, you know, you do listen kind of with one ear at the same time. We you know, we have news briefs that run all day.
Right.
We're each responsible. There's three reporters. Each of us are responsible for turning out four stories a day.
Okay.
And the stories, you know, the deadlines are pretty close. You know, we're on at 11, we're on at noon, we're on at 1, 2, 3, 4. And so, you know, you're working, you're back there interviewing staffers and guests and whack packers. And so you hear bits and pieces, but the beauty thing of Sirius over there at Howard's Channels is one just repeats his show.
Right.
So for, you know, super fans like myself and so many millions of others that came over, you know, you miss something, you get to hear it later.
Yeah.
And that's a very cool thing. That's something that the fans wanted, and that's what they got. You know, there's very few places that actually give the listeners what they're asking for.
Right. Yeah, I would say I would rather listen to a Stern show I've already heard than listen to anything else on the radio.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just...
Absolutely. I agree with you. And you know, that's what, that was the way I'd call in, the games I would come up with were all off of Best of Howard's. I would tape these Best of, and there would be fights between him and Gary, and I would make these games out of their fights. You know, I said, you and Gary were arguing about, you know, Gary's wedding video, and when you said, Gary, you know, I don't want this tape, Gary's answer was A, B, or C, you know, and then when I'd tell him what the answer was, it would spark the fight all over again. And it was just like, it was music to my ears, man. I loved it. Loved it.
Now, your new DVD, Call of Shuli, is really funny.
Thank you.
Is that your first CD or DVD you've put out?
Yeah, it's my first one. It's actually, what's funny about it is, well, the whole thing's funny. But the story behind it is, this is actually... the last show that I did, stoned. I smoked weed for many, many years, and performed high for many, many years. And then I had a daughter, and about 3 months into her, you know, being born, I was just like, I don't know, just felt like it was time to take a time out for a little bit when, you know, I was trying to put in her car seat, and I started sweating like MacGyver defusing a bomb with a soda can and a paperclip. So, you know, once I hit that stage, and then there was another time where I had the munchies really bad one night, and I went to open this box of cherry pie, and it was actually a Reynolds box of Reynolds Saran Wrap with a picture of a slice of a cherry pie on it, like, do you know how high you have to be to think
right.
a cherry pie could fit in a Saran Wrap box? You know what I mean? Like, you got to be wasted. And I was like, you know what? I've gotten a good run out of weed. I've had some good times. Never really had any bad times. I think it's cool we take a break for a little bit. And so this is actually the last show that I did, stone. It's kind of like, you know, Stevie Ray Vaughan, I'm a huge fan of, and there's this double DVD of two shows of his, one when he was like whacked out of his mind on blow, and then the other one when he was sober.
Mm-hmm.
And you watch them both and you're just like, I don't know, they're both good, but it, you know, for me, I'd just be like, was he better when he was messed up? Was he better sober? Like, I remember having to do a show sober, my first show sober, you know, not stoned, and I was sitting there in the parking lot before the show freaking out, thinking, I'm not gonna be funny, I'm not gonna have any timing, the jokes are going to be flat, everything's going to suck, and just making myself a nervous wreck, because I was so used to it, you know? But yeah, I mean, look, the 12 years of comedy that I did, stoned, is, you know, there's a lot of funny stuff that came from it, and you know, I talk a lot about weed on the DVD. You know, I don't shy away from it. You're not going to hear a lot of political humor
right.
from this DVD.
Okay.
That's what you're looking for. It's you know, it's just fun. You know, racial, sex, drugs, a little bit of kids thrown in there, just because you know I had one recently, and mm-hmm. when I filmed it, it was just like it was all so new to me. It still is. And very awesome. That's my new drug now, is
right.
this kid. You know, she's like such a trip, at the risk of sounding like the Oprah show right now. But but yeah, it's a great DVD. I'm very proud of it. And so far, the people who've picked it up have really, really liked it. And, you know, these are Stern fans. If they don't like something, believe me, they will tell you.
Yeah.
You know, so the DVD is great. It's on my website. Number one ranked website among Jewish websites, called Jew Gone Wild. It's based on a series of videos that I made.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Jew Gone Wild is.
Do you show people your yarmulke or something?
No, it's like it's crazier than that. Like the first scene is a table full of Jews, and we're paying for a restaurant check, and no one's complaining. All right, no one's ever seen anything like that. You're rubbing your eyes. You're like, what am I? What? You know, the second scene, we're tipping 40%, screaming. Woo!
Are those on your website?
No, they're not. I haven't actually made those videos.
Oh, okay.
But that joke is in the DVD. So,
oh, okay. Okay.
And so yeah, that's what I'm pitching here tonight for all you college kids out there. This is a must have.
Call of Shuly.
Call now, of Shuly, yeah, and video games, you know, I mean, they go hand in hand.
So do you play a lot of video games?
Yeah, like too much.
Okay.
You know it's bad when you're like, when you're at GameStop and you're like, no, let me see the other top-of-the-line headsets you got.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like that, I shouldn't be excited that I have a wireless headset.
Right.
THX surround sound, but I am.
What game are you most looking forward to?
Well, you know, I like the Call of Duty when it comes out until I realize how much I suck at it and how great 11-year-olds around the world are at it. And, you know, I'd love to tell you about some of the discussions I get into on the headset with these kids, but, you know, I can't say these words right now. And I'd probably have be under some sort of charges after I tell the story, but it gets very heated over here, and eventually it ends up with, you know, a kid going, "Aren't you too old to be on here?" And me going, "Yeah, I am old enough to have GPS, and I'll find your ass, Timmy, and when I do, I'm gut-punching you."
Have you ever considered recording your conversations on Call of Duty?
Yeah, oh, my wife did that once. She was like,
yeah?
You know, this is why I married the woman, because not, you know, here I am, a man in his 30s, sitting on the carpet with a headset on, with a game controller, arguing with an 11-year-old in Minnesota, threatening to beat him up, and she stands in the kitchen and looks at me and says, "What would you like for dinner?" And that's how you know it's a keeper, my friend.
Right, true love.
Yeah, absolutely. I locked it down.
Well, Shuly, I really appreciate you calling in. And,
well, thanks for having me, man.
Oh, of course. Anytime.
Yeah, and, you know, people go on JewGoneWild.com and check out the DVD. I think there's a couple of YouTube clips on there. I'm on Twitter at Shalom Shuly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man, let's do this. I'm doing some shows in the city. I think the May 13th and 14th shows we're doing in the city are sold out.
Oh, wow.
But you can go to either my site or cleanboxentertainment.com. I got a show in Allentown, PA I'm doing with Ronnie and Scott, the engineer from the show.
Hmm.
A couple other surprises. So, yeah, and then just more stuff I'm going to be doing. I think we're doing a DVD release party at Caroline's next month. So, and, you know, it'll be a lot of fun stuff coming up. I got an app on for the iPhone. It's got a bunch of Jew stuff on it. You'll love it. And, you know, for all the Jews out there, it's a dollar. Relax, okay?
Great. Thank you so much, Shuly.
All right, buddy. You got it.
All right. Talk to you later.
See ya.
Bye. That was Shuly Agar, and you can check out his brand new DVD, Call of Shuli, Israeli Funny, at JewGoneWild.com.